Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. We begin June with some surprising health tips. Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is the first day of June, so we're glad that you're tuning in for a brand new month with us here. We're starting on page 10 of your brand new magazine, so please open it up, and you'll see that we're featuring a health article today. Now, of course, it's important to be healthy, and one of the things that we try to do to get healthy is to reach a healthy weight. Now, my name is Naomi, and I definitely have had to work on this myself, trying to make sure that I'm at a healthy weight, and it can be a challenge. So I think a lot of us understand that issue, and we're always excited to hear new pieces of advice, different kinds of tips that can help us to be healthy. But first, let's see who else is in the studio today. Campbell, welcome.
Thank you. It's always great to be here.
What's your tip for being at a healthy weight?
My tip, I think, just to have fun. I think that helps with everything. If something is fun, you're more likely to do it.
That's a really good point. So, for example?
Well, I mean, with exercise, do things that you enjoy, whether mm-hmm. it's walking or playing sports. You know, you don't have to necessarily always, you know, push yourself till you drop dead, you know, but just have fun with it.
Yeah, I think it's true with food, too. Sometimes people try to push themselves so hard to eat all healthy foods that they eat a lot of things they don't enjoy.
Right.
But it's possible to make really delicious healthy food, and then you actually have fun.
Right. And, I mean, even if you cheat just a little bit, it's okay.
Right. Well, also joining us is Catherine.
Hello, Naomi.
Do you have any tips for being a healthy eater?
I think maybe the best one is think before you eat. Mm-hmm. I know I am the worst at just eating when I'm not that hungry because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
That's a terrible habit.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, and a very easy one to fall into.
Yes, definitely easy.
So forming good habits is definitely part of this, and we have some hints about some of the good habits that we can try to form in our article today. So once again, we're on page 10, and first of all, let's just read that title, Campbell.
Okay, our title for today is Eat Dessert for Breakfast. That's interesting.
Did you eat dessert for breakfast today?
Today, I actually did. I did have some chocolate for breakfast, unintentionally.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was delicious.
Doris spoiled us today. She came back from a trip with some treats, and we got to indulge this morning. I tried not to, but this article is making me wonder if maybe that was the wrong decision.
I think it was. It was really good chocolate.
Chocolate is always a good decision.
Well, we continue with, it's not just eating dessert for breakfast, our deck says.
That's right. There's also three other dieting do's that will surprise us.
What do we mean by do's?
It means things that you should do when you diet. We have do's and we have don'ts sometimes.
Right. I sometimes see this in fashion magazines. They'll have examples of outfits and they'll say, this is a do, this is a don't. You know, don't wear denim head to toe. Do, add a splash of color, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's this idea of like, these are the smart things to do, these are the less smart things to do.
And I think it's great that we're focusing on the do's and not the don'ts, because so often in dieting you just constantly focus, oh, I can't eat that, I can't do this, I can't do that, you know, and so being able to focus on the positives is good.
I agree. So on that note, let's jump into our first reading.
Eat dessert for breakfast, plus three other dieting do's that will surprise you. Here are four simple, healthy, and, dare we say, fun ways to help you slim down and stay healthy. Have your cake for breakfast. Aside from being depressing, the way to maintain weight loss isn't by feeling deprived. Scientists say that people who started off the day with a treat and larger meal felt fuller and more satisfied. and that led to their sticking with the program as the day went on. Being hungry is no way to start your day, so fuel up with protein and a morsel of something sweet. And most of all, enjoy.
So as we jump into this article, we find out that we're about to learn 4 simple, healthy, and dare we say, fun ways. Now, why do we say dare we say like that?
I think it kind of means that, you know, we are telling you something, but, you know, it may not be normal information. So we're kind of daring to say it. We're taking a chance by telling you this, maybe.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's sort of surprising. It's something you might not automatically agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think of dieting, we don't usually think of fun. And so here they're saying, no, this is fun. It can be an enjoyable thing. These 4 ways to help you do what, Campbell?
Well, it says 4 fun ways to help you slim down and stay healthy. So to slim down just means to become thinner, to lose some weight.
Right. And of course, stay healthy, which is more important than slimming down. Sometimes being at a healthy weight is very important, of course, because it makes your body function well. But it's more important that you're healthy and strong than that you fit into a certain size.
Right.
So just keeping that in mind as we continue, what is our first tip?
Well, it says to have your cake for breakfast. So this is a fun phrase, have your cake and eat it too. It kind of means that you get to do both things that you want to do.
So. Mm-hmm. Right. Often we feel like we have to choose, you know, do I have to spend money on this or save it here or whatever? And when there's a solution that allows us kind of the best of both worlds, mm-hmm. then we say, oh, I'm having my cake and eating it too. It sounds like it doesn't really make sense.
Right. It doesn't. But I mean, it's a fun little phrase. It just means, you know, that you get to have both things that you really want.
Right.
So here we're talking about eating cake for breakfast, which is something that's kind of unusual. It's not something that you usually hear about. You know, usually we hear you want to eat healthy foods for breakfast, and usually cake isn't considered very healthy.
Right. And I find just by instinct, I feel like, oh, that can't be right. Because mm-hmm. for me, I feel like the more I make healthy choices in the morning, the more I start my day off right, the easier it is for me to continue. But here they're saying that, well, there's an issue with dieting, and that has to do with feeling deprived.
Right. I think a lot of times when we diet, we're told to take away everything that we enjoy when we eat. So anything sweet, we're not supposed to eat. And the more you feel deprived from it, the more you want to eat it. So it's kind of counterproductive when you're dieting.
Exactly. Yeah. So aside from being just depressing, okay, so when you're sort of like sitting around, and this is how I feel when I'm on a diet, I'm always like, I can't do that. I can't go there. Mm-hmm. I can't try some. And it's very pathetic and depressing. But they're saying actually it doesn't even really work.
Right. It says the best way to maintain weight loss isn't by feeling deprived. It says scientists say that people who started off the day with a treat and a larger meal felt fuller and more satisfied. So this helped them to stick to their diet.
Right. So if you feel full and more satisfied, then you don't feel deprived. It's right, exactly the opposite. So if you start off the day feeling like, I had a big, healthy breakfast, I feel great, I feel satisfied, I feel wonderful, then you continue your day and you can stick with the program.
That's right. I think if you start off well, you end well, maybe later in the day you won't feel so hungry, you won't feel the need to overeat in your later meals because you had a good, strong breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you stick with something, it means that you stay with it, you keep going with it, you don't give up, and you know, you're willing to continue.
Mm-hmm. Good. So being hungry, it says, is no way to start your day. And that's absolutely true. We always hear that breakfast is important, and I would agree with that. The healthier a breakfast I eat, the more satisfying a breakfast I eat, the more I'm able to power through my day and feel productive and energetic. And so they suggest a pretty specific diet here.
Right. It says to fuel up with protein and a morsel of something sweet. So when we think about protein, we're thinking eggs or some sort of meat, bacon, ham. And a morsel means a very small piece of food. So, you know, a small piece of bread, a muffin, piece mm-hmm. of cake, maybe.
Or a piece of cake. Yeah. Or a donut.
Yeah.
Fuel up. I like that term when it talks about food because I think it's, I mean, we usually think of fuel in a car.
Right. Fuel in the car is what keeps the car going. It keeps the car running. So when we talk about food fueling up our body, it gives us the energy and the power that we need to get through the day. And I think it's important to note here that it says a morsel of something sweet. So we're not talking about eating a whole cake or a whole pie, right? We're just taking, you know, a few bites of something just to, you know, crave that, you know, to curb that craving.
So, for example, that piece of chocolate that you had this
morning. Exactly. I was following this article and I didn't even know it.
And most of all, it says enjoy. And I would say that's another top dieting tip, is to take the time to enjoy your food and really appreciate what you're eating. Taste it, take your time, enjoy it, and you'll find often you eat a little bit less because you're also listening to when you're full. But we continue with another very, very relaxing tip for weight loss. Let's hear it.
Sleep your way to weight loss. Another reason to stop burning the midnight oil is that people who aren't getting enough Z's consume an average of 549 more calories a day than their more rested counterparts, reports a Mayo Clinic study. If you find it tricky to wind down at night, turn off the electronics and engage in soothing activities, like taking a bath or listening to calming music.
Okay, so sleep your way to weight loss. Oh, that sounds like a great solution.
I love sleeping. This is wonderful. You know, I think a lot of times when we think about weight loss, we think about exercise and pushing ourselves and working hard. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't always have to be so hard.
Right, and I think for me, one of the challenges is sometimes I have to choose between sleep and exercise. This morning, sleep won. But I'm feeling better about this after reading this article, because it says that another reason to stop burning the midnight oil. And what does that idiom mean?
It just means to work really late into the night. A lot of times we stay up late because we need to check email or watch that last TV show or finish up some work for the morning. And obviously that's not a good idea to do.
Right. And we know that. I mean, everyone is aware that this idea of staying up late and getting, you know, you go out at night and you get home at 11 and then you have to do some things and do your dishes and tidy up and do your laundry, and suddenly it's 1 in the morning, maybe. Uh-huh. I don't know.
You sound like you have experience.
It's happened. But this is, of course, we know it's a problem because you feel tired in the morning, but we have another reason why we should stop this behavior here.
Yes, it says that people who burn the midnight oil tend to average more calories a day than their more rested counterparts.
Okay, so this is really significant. People who aren't getting enough Z's, in other words, aren't sleeping enough. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we call it catching some Z's, supposed to describe snoring, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it comes from the cartoon strips, the comic strips. They do the Z's when people are sleeping.
But they eat so much more than people who get enough sleep.
Yeah, that's an entire meal, and I can see that. I know that on the days when I'm extremely sleep-deprived, I kind of sit there and I munch at my desk because I think that eating more will give me more energy. But right. I think, in fact, it's actually doing us more harm.
Right.
And I also think that when you're really tired, your body thinks that, okay, you know, I'm working really hard, so I need more energy. Mm-hmm. So it'll start triggering that hunger in you.
Right. The what really blew me away was this number, because it's a really significant amount. I mean, for the average person, you need to consume about 2,000 calories a day, and that really depends a lot on your age and your gender and your weight, so don't take my word for it. You can ask your doctor. But this is such a huge amount of calories. It's basically a whole meal. So if you are someone who is overweight and trying to drop the pounds, getting more sleep might make a really big difference. But that brings us to the next issue. Some of us are just not that good at falling asleep on time.
That's right. And it says, you know, if we find it tricky to wind down at night. So it says to turn off electronics and engage in soothing activities. Now, winding down just means to end or to relax, kind of stop doing something. So I think that's important when it comes to this.
I agree. And I like that way of thinking about it. It almost sounds like a clock that's sort of stopping slowly, winding down. Like, I personally don't find it very easy to be running around and doing something very active and then immediately going to sleep.
Right.
I usually need at least, I'd say at least half an hour.
For sure, yeah. Whenever I come home, no matter what time it is, whether it's 10 or 9, I always need some time. So I need some time to just relax and just calm down from the day. So I think the key here is to not be like, okay, my bedtime is at 11, so I'm just going to work till 11. You know, if you're setting your bedtime at 11, you want to start, you know, calming down at about 10, 10:30 and get ready.
Yeah. And this is, for me, it's important when I think about different commitments during the week, especially where I, you know, someone says, oh, do you want to come out for dinner with us? Or, oh, there's an event at church. Can you come? And I think, oh, sure, I have time for that. But then I have to consider, how late am I going to get home? Is this something I can really sacrifice this week, or do I need my rest?
Yeah, that's something we've had to – I mean, ever since we've had our kid, I think that's something that we've always had to be aware of, like her bedtime. And her bedtime's pretty early, so we don't get out very much nowadays. But it's good. She needs her rest.
You need us to come and babysit, I
guess. That's right.
But I like their examples of soothing activities. And when you think of soothing, what do you think of?
Oh, calming, relaxing, anything that just makes you feel kind of mellow, just where you're not thinking about too much, you're not stressed out. It's a good feeling. Usually to do that, I read a book. I mean, that's the best way for me.
Yeah. So, They suggest taking a bath, listening to relaxing music.
Yeah, so not watching action movies or scary movies or, you know, doing any kind of exercise right before bed.
I think this is tricky because a lot of us feel like watching TV is very relaxing. But according to this, that all that the noise and the light, it's quite stimulating. It kind of makes you wake up more. So it's wise to actually turn that off and to go with something a little less engaging, I guess.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it definitely takes some time to change your habits, but it'll definitely be worth it in the end.
Yeah. And a well-rested person, I mean, even if you're already at a good, healthy weight, this is a great decision to make, to try to make sleep more of a priority.
Right.
All right, let's continue to tip number 3.
Journal to drop pounds. The best weapons for a dieter? Pen and paper. Women who wrote down everything they ate lost more weight than those who didn't track their food intake. Journaling makes you accountable and more aware of what you're eating. So it makes sense that it'll keep you from mindlessly munching if you aren't actually hungry.
So the next tip is that we can journal to drop pounds. Now, journal is usually a noun, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Usually we write in a journal, but this time you can also use it as a verb and say that I journal a lot, which just means that you write in your journal.
Right. So a great example of a noun that has become a verb, kind of like to friend someone. Okay, so journal to drop pounds, to lose weight. It says that we have weapons if we are trying to diet.
That's right. The best weapons for a dieter? Pen and paper, which is interesting. Basically, the idea is you want to record the things that you're eating during the day. And they did a study, and it shows that women who wrote down everything they ate lost more weight than those who didn't track their food intake.
Okay, so specifically for women here, according to the study, but I would assume it can work either way. If you write down everything, you can actually pay closer attention. It's good in the long run. Here we're talking about tracking our food intake.
That's right. If you write down everything, obviously you see everything you eat, so it gives you an idea of what you're eating, what's bad and what's good about it. It gives you a record, a track record, I guess.
Good, right.
So I like what it says here, that journaling makes you accountable. You know, it makes you more aware, and then you kind of have to take responsibility for what you're eating.
Okay, so accountable, sometimes we use that word. I often think of that with other people, actually, not just writing down what you do.
Yeah, like if you're trying to break a habit, they always say one of the tips is to tell someone so they can hold you accountable. They'll check up on you. They'll see if you're, you know, your progress and if you're sticking to it and things like that.
Right. So, but journaling can help with that too. I think it would be a little awkward to call up your friend and say, "Okay, let me tell you everything I ate today." For breakfast, I started with some orange juice. So I do think it makes sense, you know, for something that's so ongoing and detailed to try journaling. But it also makes you more aware of what you're eating. Now, have you ever tried this, Katie?
Okay, I tried it once, but I only made it for 1 or 2 days because I'm terrible at sticking with things. But I do remember I was shocked at myself because, I mean, there's so many things that I just, like, grab when I'm sitting at my desk or on the go, and those numbers add up. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
I think it does make you much more aware, right? Even for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I haven't done this. Well, actually, I have done this with food. I've also done it with my budget, with my spending. And it does really help you be just more aware, and then helps you have a record. So then you can go back and be like, okay, well, where did I, you know, maybe go wrong? Why am I not losing the weight that I'm, you know, wanting to lose?
Right.
You can make adjustments.
I do this almost every day. And so I find it's really helpful to pay attention to where my problem spots are. Also, I notice, you know, by the end of the day, I often don't have enough protein in my diet. So I think, okay, for dinner, I have to make sure I have, you know, fish or something that has a lot of protein in it. But it also keeps us from, as it says here, mindlessly munching.
Yes, and when you mindlessly do something, you do it without even thinking about it. It just sort of happens. So if you're mindlessly munching, you're just kind of eating and eating and eating, and you're not registering maybe that your body is telling you that you're full. You keep going.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I find tracking my food does help a lot, because then at the end of the day, you know, after dinner, I realize, oh, well, I do still have a few calories that I can eat. So I guess I could have a piece of fruit if I'm hungry later, but that's it. Then I'm done. So that kind of keeps me accountable. So it's a good one to try. And there are a lot of options online as well, and apps for your smartphone and so on, if that's something that interests you. But there's one more tip. Let's hear it.
Even a tiny bit of exercise helps your health. Even 20 to 30 minutes of physical activity most days of the week, broken up into smaller chunks is fine, reduces your risk for all sorts of physical ills. And even 20 minutes a week can improve your mood. That really stuck with me. It's easy to beat ourselves up or burn out if we make goals that are incredibly hard to achieve. But walking a few times a week is doable and meaningful, too.
So even a little bit of exercise can make a big difference.
That's right. Exercise is great. It keeps you moving. It gives you energy. And I think that that helps us during the day. And if we have a day where we don't eat so well, maybe it can balance things out a little bit.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Here we see that actually the recommendation from this article is not as much time as you might expect.
Right. It says 20 to 30 minutes of physical activity most days of the week. I think that's really interesting that it says most days. So it's not every day. It's not, you know, it's not maybe even 6 days. It's just most days.
So at least 4 days a week, you know, more often than not, try to get moving. But they also say you can break it up into smaller chunks. If it's 10 minutes at the beginning of the day, 10 minutes after dinner, and then, you know, you walk around a little at lunchtime, then good for you. You're on the right track. You're moving. And this can reduce your risk for all sorts of physical ills. Now, that means that regular exercise is one of the most important things we can do to prevent certain diseases and so on. But as we continue...
Yeah, it says even 20 minutes a week can improve your mood. And I think this is interesting. I know sometimes after work I'm exhausted. Maybe I'm in a bad mood because I had a rough week. But just getting outside, getting some fresh air, and moving around, oh, it makes me feel so much better.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And our author says that that really stuck with her. And I can see why, you know, because I think we do set big goals for ourselves that we don't always reach.
Right. You think, okay, I'm going to exercise for an hour every day at 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning before work. And it's just hard. And then after a while, you just feel like giving up because A, you're not having fun, and B, you're stressing yourself out.
Right. She says, it's easy to beat ourselves up. Does that mean we're literally hitting ourselves?
Well, no. No, but I think it means that we're criticizing ourselves. Maybe we're saying in the back of our minds, oh, why did you eat that? Why didn't you exercise? Why didn't you do this? It's really easy to criticize yourself for these things. So.
Right. Yeah. So she's saying, you know, let's not get carried away. Let's not set goals that we can't reach and that we'll just get angry at ourselves for not achieving. And this reminds me of the beginning of this year when we talked about setting realistic resolutions for our year. Walking a few times a week, try it out, see how it goes. Let's go to today's feature before we head out.
Rebecca, what are you doing? Why are you eating that?
Eating what?
That muffin. I'm trying to slim down and not eat any sweets. But it's hard because I'm starting this new cupcake business.
I start every day with a small breakfast. I always eat a morsel of something sweet.
I'm not sure that works.
It's a good way to start your day. It gives you more energy and a better attitude.
But lately I've been burning the midnight oil. I've been trying to get all these cupcake orders ready.
You should try going to bed earlier so you stop mindlessly eating late at night.
You're right. I eat anything in sight when I work late.
Another helpful idea is to write down everything you eat during the day. I know it helps me watch what I eat and avoid eating mindlessly.
Those are such great tips. It will help me stop beating myself up because of what I eat.
And it's also a great way to wind down at night.
Thanks so much for giving me these tips, but I have to go work on my cupcake orders now.
You're welcome. Now don't forget to save some for yourself. You can have your own cake and eat it too.
So some great tips today on how to have our cake and eat it, too. What was your favorite one, Campbell?
I think my favorite one was to sleep. I love to sleep. I think that's a good tip.
Okay. And Catherine?
I can't decide. It's either have a morsel of something sweet or exercise. I love sweets and like to exercise. We all know this.
Yes. And I do like, again, the idea that it doesn't always take this huge, drastic change. Try with just a few more minutes of exercise a day or a small change in your diet and take it from there. And please do tell us how your weight loss journey is going at our Facebook page or on our website. We'll see you again soon for more this month.